The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Trying to figure out on YouTube, if I go like this, am I looking at you? Like, I'm looking at you right now, but the way the YouTube is set up, I think it's like the Brady Bunch thing. I have to look to my left. Yeah, nope, I refuse. I'm boycotting today our little daily start the show gesture. Yeah, I want to mix things up. We need to shake off the oogies. It's got to be positive. Bring positive feelings into the world and manifest what we want to happen rather than always thinking bad things are going to happen. We need to change the mental culture.
Are you saying this to yourself?
I'm saying this to everyone, including myself. We have to manifest what we want. We have to be positive. We have to be vocally supportive. We have to put it into the universe what we want so that we can get it back. So we can.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact game.
You have to put it out there. Yet today's theme is be positive.
Cool.
Just kidding. No chance. It sucks. And really,
you had this as a loss. What's the matter?
I did. What's the problem? You know whose fault it is? Who? It's Pete Youngman's. Last night, Pete Youngman.
That's weird. I didn't see Pete in the game.
Pete was in the game. He was in the game spiritually.
Okay.
All right. Couple. There we go. Okay. I just want to make sure. Very important points to get to. Oh, by the way, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's start with Pete, who is a favorite of yours, mine, and anyone who's ever been around. Can't say a bad word about Pete. Pete is very, very light.
Except for you've just blamed the game on him.
Well, yeah, but I doesn't mean I hate him. I just friends are honest.
Okay.
You know, Pete is one of those, spiritual, put it out there, bless the world and the earth and all that. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying he's one of those guys that's like very, very in tune with himself and his feelings and is a very positive guy. You know what I'm saying? And I am not. So last night, I think it was at the half. And I tweeted something to the effect of, all right, here's the bottom line. Just play like this. Play like this for 48 minutes and no one's, you're going to be a very tough beat. This is the type of Kings team that we know they're capable of being. They're playing strong. Oh, by the way, my wife brought that up the other day. She goes, "Do you guys scratch your beards on the air?"
And she can hear it.
I guess so. And I said, "I think so." Yeah, right. I don't even notice we do that. Mm. So now it's a thing.
Probably me.
It might be me too. Yeah. I'm sure I do the same thing.
I think Jason is most of it.
No, I think you're right. But here's why. I don't know if it's necessarily because he scratches more. It's because my beard feel
Jason is way thicker than you.
Right. Jason's beard is way girthier than mine, I think, is what we're...
I had the procedure.
Yeah, you had the procedure. My beard feel is incredibly... there's no other way to put this. It's a little puby, if I'm being honest with you. It's just got that texture to it. And if I grow it out, yours is like bottle brush, like very thick and I would bet you're the type of person that after not shaving for a day or two, if you were to pick up a little cousin or something and hug them with their nice little rosy cheeks, if you hug him too hard, you're going to leave a 5 o'clock shadow rash. Like, I feel like you've got that kind of beard.
I shaved this morning.
You're like the Vlade Divac of radio, exactly. Anyway, so, yeah, we're going to try to work on scratching our beards. That's one of the things today, so we scratch our beards.
Yeah, I'm not getting much. I think I'm in between you and Jason.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think your facial hair is definitely better than mine, but Jason could be like Wolfman Jay and, like, you know, we've seen it before. I've said before on record, I think bearded Jason looks cool. I think mustache goatee Jason's the best Jason. Because it's like Bizarro Jason. Like, if there was an evil
Jason.
Yes, evil Jason.
That's negative all the time.
Yes, would have that look.
Loves the Red Sox.
You huge USC guy. Absolutely. Anyway, no, I'm saying evil Jason is, not you. Right? Wouldn't evil Jason be like, Trojans?
Let's get back to PE.
Okay, anyway, so last night I tweeted out at one point, I think it was a halftime, and that's basically what I said. I was like, here we go. This quarter and a half for the Kings is exactly how they can be. Like, this is the best they can be. Just basically keep it up, do your thing. You're communicating, you're playing tenacious defense, truly good coverage on all levels. If you play like this for 48, you're tough to beat. I was really proud of them in the first half. Really, really loved the way they played. And Pete chimes in at one point and says, you know, basically, accept it. They're going to win tonight. Be positive, you know. And as soon as he said that, dude.
Thunder read that, and they were like, no, Pete, not so fast. Is that what happened?
That's exactly. He said, mark it down early, David. And he posted a GIF of the Cubs fly the W flag. Now, let me pause for a second and also say to many of those, some of those out there, I don't know what it is, but we need to have a conversation about what a jinx is, okay? What Pete did right there, that's a jinx. He predicted or said definitively the Kings are going to win tonight. That's a jinx. Now, I'm not saying it's real or not. I'm just saying that's the definition of what a jinx is. What is not a jinx, and this is the part that people really need to understand, is what I wrote. What I wrote was not, had I said, I feel like the Kings are going to play this way, they will continue this, and I see a win. That's a definitive thing. I'm jinxing the team. If you say, if they do this, if they do that, then they will be tough to... That's not a jinx. That's an observation. There is a real difference between the two.
So anybody...
Anybody.
I did not read social media last night, which, by the way, was good. pretty nice feeling.
It really, honestly, good for you.
I'm pretty certain, without knowing,
someone
predicted, knowing the way the Kings season has gone, Kings will lose tonight.
Yes.
At halftime.
Oh, absolutely. We were all there. Most of us were there. The
so
bulk of us were there.
What's the difference? One saying this will be a win.
Uh-huh.
And one saying this will be a
loss.
Oh, what's
the difference as far as jinxing goes?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. A jinx is when you predict the thing and the opposite happens.
Oh.
So it's okay to predict that they're going to lose because at best you get a reverse jinx. And a reverse jinx is also incredibly powerful. Right. But it didn't work last night. Yes, right, reverse jinx is okay.
Okay.
Like, if I'm
Isn't
like,
that more of a prediction, though?
What? Well, they're
if you
both,
do a reverse jinx and it happens?
If you do a reverse jinx and then the opposite happens.
So Pete started as a reverse jinx, but then it just became a jinx.
No, Pete... Because Pete predicted the thing that happened that would be positive. We predicted they would lose. That's the negative.
Yeah, I think Jason has got it right there.
Huh.
He thinks Pete wanted them to lose last night.
Oh. No, wait.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Okay.
No, I was saying he started in the right spot or no?
No, he started in the wrong spot. You can't predict the good thing. Jason, in every horror movie, okay, yeah. I'll be back. I'll be right back. I'm just going to the store. Dead. They jinx themselves. Now,
but if I said, hey, that character's going to be just fine because they said they're going to be okay.
Also jinx. Yeah. Jinx. But
I killed them.
If you all indirectly killed them.
Yeah.
However, if the person's leaving and then instead of saying, all right, guys, I'll be right back, everything's going to be fine.
He did.
But if he goes, probably not going to make it, this is probably it, everybody, I'm dead. Well, that's a reverse jinx, because you're predicting, if you were predict the negative thing.
You know, as a horror fan, the way you're able to explain that, I think is just perfect.
Thank you. that you, if you're going to predict the negative thing. Okay, so that's not a jinx. Pete jinxed us last night. And I'm going to go back to why so many fans are, including me, the way they are. The bigger the lead got, the more preemptively angry I was getting last night. I was not able to enjoy it.
Why do you watch?
Because I get paid to get on the radio the next day and watch. Jason, I'm telling you right now, if I didn't have this job, I would have stopped watching this team. I would peripherally watch them, but I would have turned so many games off at the half. I literally watch because I have to.
Turn this into the Masters for you.
Yes.
You're not going to care who wins the Masters.
That's right.
Well, I can't. You love the event.
Yes.
You love everything about
That's
it.
That's right.
You want the smells. You want the feels. Mm-hmm. You don't care who wins. I mean, you might have some favorites.
No, but you're right.
But if whoever the person you want to win the Masters the most has a horrific meltdown on Sunday.
Yes.
You watched. You enjoyed.
That's right.
You probably feel a little something for them. But you know what? Next year, you're back. I can't wait for the Masters. I want to go.
I wish I could apply that to basketball because
I don't know why you can't.
Because with the Masters, I'm rooting for, like, to me.
You're rooting for the course.
I'm rooting for the course.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I'm rooting for the course. It's the course and it's the event and everything that surrounds it. Obviously, the golf. But you're right. Like, look, if Tiger's two up on Sunday and it's a special thing and he triple bogeys 17, I'm gonna feel bad. But I'm not really, like, I don't have a dog in the fight, if you will, with the Kings. So much, it is the most emotionally abusive relationship I've ever been in. With very little in return, almost constant failure over 40 years. And trust me, I wish I could. Two things that would incredibly improve my life, I'm very aware of, is having the freedom to be able to just say I'm done watching it, and also no social media. Like, at all.
That one would be a game changer for you, I promise you.
You're right. You're 100%.
But you won't do that.
You're 100% right.
Because I mean, look, I didn't go home going, yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of that
game. Sure, of course.
But I didn't read anything about it.
And you know what, Jason?
That does help. I'm telling you it does.
And that, no, you're right. And that doesn't make you any less
committed. Oh, it's not any better or worse? No, I just.
You just do it differently.
I just went home going, man. I mean, I literally was talking to my wife about, like, man, they blew that. They had a great – and especially when I left, I go, wow, Portland's actually winning. This Laker outcome looks good for the Kings. It looks like Phoenix will lose. This actually could have been a perfect night.
At halftime, at one time, they were all losing.
Mm-hmm. So all those thoughts were still there, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to read anybody.
You're smart.
Saying anything else about it, good or bad.
You're absolutely smart. And the day started at 11:45 with my soccer club going up 1-0 on the road at the half. They looked fantastic. And then in the space of 7 minutes, dude on the other team had a hat trick, and they lost 4-1.
That 7 minutes?
7 minutes hat trick. Lost 4-1 on the road, needed the win. Relegation, all that. That's how the day started. And then my other team, well, I shouldn't say my team, the Kings. It wasn't
okay.
That bad, but again.
Can you go back to your social media? Because I did see a tweet from a Carmichael Dave in the morning about, I believe, a 1-0 lead.
We had a 1-0 lead.
Can you read your tweet?
Oh, yes, I can. I said, hold on. Yes.
Because what I'm remembering may not be what I'm thinking
glad
I'm remembering.
This is an important point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because, again, jinx.
Not a jinx?
Well, you be the judge.
Let's see.
1-0 at the half. The away crowd is dead. Towns fans have been dominating. Number one. Don't do the thing where we concede right out of the break. In other words, don't do the thing where they score a goal 5 minutes in the second half. Please get another goal or three quickly. So for once, my blood pressure isn't 300 over 200. Number three, this would be a massive 3 points.
Okay, so I'm going to go to Chris on this.
Yes.
That first one you put up there, don't put up Don't give.
Yeah, don't do the thing where you give up a goal right out of the break.
Chris?
No.
No, it's not, because I'm saying don't.
If you were to say they're not going to do what they always do and give up an early goal, then that wouldn't be a
If
jinx.
I said, oh, you know what, this time feels different.
Jinx commander.
I could teach a class on jinxing and reverse jinxing. And there are rules, and that's why it pisses me off when someone's like, that's a jinx. It's like, bro, that's not a jinx. If I say, for example, to the person saying that's a jinx, if I say, dude, you're 100% not going to get a deadly disease. I'm jinxing them. I'm jinxing that person. I would feel terrible. I feel terrible. I'm throwing salt over my shoulder right now because I feel.
In my eye.
Oh, did I really?
No.
Oh, okay.
In my beard.
This, though, me saying, I'm begging the gods, please don't do the thing. I'm actually, in a sense, I'm not saying I'm reverse jinxing, but I am trying to throw it out in the ether that I am begging for them not to do the thing. Not predicting, like Pete Youngman, that they won't do the thing, or predicting that they will do the positive.
You're hoping that the manager is saying, hey, do not do what you guys always
right.
do.
Point out the bad thing and say, don't do that. Not, guys, I think today's the day. I think today's the day you're finally not going to do the bad thing. That's a jinx. You can't think that way. You cannot think positive, or the negative thing will probably happen. And as I always say, Jason, the thing about pessimism is this. If you're an optimist, you're up here, right? If the bad thing happens, here's the thing. If the good thing happens, you expected it. Yay. If the bad thing happens, look at all this space between here and the floor. Right? You crash.
Really?
Pessimism. I'm already on the floor. I'm expecting all the bad things to happen. Worst case scenario, look at me fall. The bad thing happened. I just fell an inch.
So your suggestion is you're feeling better today than I am.
No, I still feel really bad. But I think I can only imagine.
Your fall was pretty small and light and easy and fluffy.
I can imagine how I would be feeling today if I really believed in them last night. Like, I'm the guy that's like, I don't believe in fairies. I don't. You don't exist.
You teach the jinx class. I'll teach the optimism class.
You teach the optimism class. I'm going to be the Anthony Robbins of pessimism with a side of how not to jinx.
He's an optimist, though, isn't he?
He's a total optimist. And I'm saying I want to go around the world and be like, let me tell you, optimism is garbage.
I'm going to go around this flat earth.
Do not be optimistic.
Yeah.
Unless you're trying to save money on your gas bills, because American Energy right now is trying to get you to switch to did I get you there?
You did.
A little bit. I never get you. I mean, I get you.
Did I just jinx that, though?
No! Now, if I were to say, I know I'm not messing around with a sponsor, but there are ways I could provide a jinxy read, and I'm not going to do it. Make the switch to electric this spring with American Energy and save big. Stay ahead of the spiking energy bills this summer with up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. Now, American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD, as well as spring specials, by installing one of many incredibly efficient AC options available to you right now. Hey, get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter that you scratch your beard at? What even? That sounds weird. Scratch your beard at while you're reading your bills. I was trying to do a thing there and I screwed it up. Go to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let American Energy perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months. I just thought, by the way, I went to the dentist yesterday. Remind me at some point when we get back. I have breaking news. I have breaking dental news that you're going to love. These guys are the best. I'm talking about American Energy, not the dentist, but the dentist is pretty cool. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. $9,000 in rebates, guys, and they will do all the paperwork. 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. 30-second break when we get back. We lead it off. The biggest stories of the day coming next.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
All right, really, I just I'm trying to vamp here to get this thing going because my computer crashed. But hey, Jason, so I went to the oh, that sounded bad, didn't it?
What?
The sound. I said I'm trying to vamp while I get this thing up here.
Yeah.
That's why I thought you left. I went to the dentist yesterday, and so, like, I've been doing, like, little cleanups and this and that. And, like, you know, despite the fact that it looks like someone put a grenade in my mouth and pulled the pin when I smile, my teeth are relatively healthy. And I got, like, the last thing done. And so the dentist at the end of the thing yesterday, he goes, "All right, man, it's time." I go, "What do you mean it's time?" He goes, "Hey, you're done. You got all your stuff done." I go, "Okay, well, what is it time for?" He goes, "It's time for braces, baby." I was like,
"I thought you were going to say you get a toy out of the toilet."
That's right. They have a little green frog, and I never allowed to go in there.
Kids dentist.
100%. So he's like, "Yeah, dude, it's time. You're getting braces." I go, "I'm getting braces. For how long?" 3 years. 3 years. You know, I'm on the radio, right? Like, it's one time where I'm like, "You know, I'm on the radio." I'm like, "Dude, I have a radio show." Like, he's a good friend.
Well, you can't talk.
No, he says, no, you'll be fine. You might just have a little bit of a lisp. I'm like, "Bro, I already have a little bit of a lisp because of the way my teeth are. He goes, "Yeah, maybe it'll take your current lisp away, or it'll make it a different lisp." Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, you won't have a lisp anymore. So bless you. Just want to announce to the audience. Bless you. I don't know.
There's a banshee loose in the studio.
Those are low key sneezes for Jason. I just want to apologize in advance. Did you get a little on the arm?
I did.
I just want to apologize in advance for whenever this happens. Trust me, I'll let y'all know, and then
I think we'll know.
My voice is going to be even worse.
Yeah.
Which it already ain't. You know, Jim Nance or nothing. So
friends.
Hello, friends. Cut number one.
Inbounds pass goes to Davion Mitchell, and there's your ball game. To Keon Ellis, gave to Sabonis. The ball slipped through his hands, and the Thunder have it. Kings are going to be forced to foul here very quickly. They don't get a steal. Here's Lugens Dort. They're playing keep away. Gilgeous Alexander has it, and he's fouled.
I hadn't even heard Disappointed G-Man yet. I heard
Yep.
I heard much of the play-by-play last night because I was driving around for a bit. I did not hear the end. And that's what we talked about with Gary yesterday. Disappointed G-Man. Just put a nail in the dagger of the
shameful performance.
Shameful performance.
Put your booty out there, brother.
I was very, very split last night. You know how, like, Jason, sometimes I'll feel a certain way, but if everybody's piling on, then I don't know. Weirdly, I feel like they're getting bullied, so I become the contrarian. And I was really trying to do that with Harrison Barnes last night. Because I know
he was a target.
I mean,
this is what happens when he's gone too long.
I'm not even going to tell you about, you know, the arrival and a couple of ice cream cones, 3 a.m., talking it out. When you got home last night.
Oh, yeah.
It's our bit about how we're roommates.
No, I knew that. Okay. I was thinking of, I thought that was a social media post.
No, I feel like if we were really roommates, like, he would have come home and he'd still be kind of like amped up, but really tired, but amped up from the plane ride. I'd be like, "Hey, I got your favorite ice cream, pal." Like, I knew he's had a rough
road. He had the robe and slippers.
Yeah. And then we just sit at the dining room table and just kind of eat our ice cream in silence. And I just kind of wait for him to,
yeah.
I wait for him to talk about it. I'm not going to force him to talk about what's going on. Anyways.
I would have thought Sabonis would have been a target.
Sabonis is still and was, and that's really the only thing I got on and participated in was, Chris, can you hit the breaking news banner, please, would you? Because this is big, and I did not.
When it breaks, yeah. We have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports breaking news.
Jason, apparently DeMontis Sabonis is trash, according to a decent portion of our fan base last night. I'll go to Dirk Corte. His handle on Twitter is at BeefDurkey24. And he goes, "You don't need..." Well, he started out saying, "Stop it, Dave. You do know Sabonis played basketball before Sacramento, right? You try to stop criticism of a player because he puts up stats? That's asinine. If you want to compete for a championship with this team, you need to be honest about his shortcomings. We need him to score, and he doesn't score." Apparently, we need DeMontis Sabonis to average 25 to 30 points a game. And he's not, and he's trash. And basically, over the last few games, it's proven the narrative that, like, against Kevon Looney, he disappears in big moments. And he, you can't win or be a title contender when he's your second option.
Interesting.
Legit, that is the thought process out there by a not tiny group of our fans. Very small, but okay. Yeah.
I would have said, I mean, obviously, the obvious is he's not trash. He's had a tremendous season. I did not think he was very good yesterday.
He was terrible.
Yeah, and he really hurt them.
Yes, he was. DeMontis Sabonis had a very bad game yesterday. And to be honest, I don't think he was particularly great on this whole trip.
Yeah, and if you would have told me the double-double streak would end and it would be because he didn't get points.
Right.
Stunning.
Couldn't get 10 points.
Yeah.
Yes. And, like, it's the...
But it's not trash.
No, it's the extremes. And then you, like, you go back in game 79 to the Kevon Looney matchup against the Warriors. Like, have you just, you've just been waiting in the... That's a long time to be in the weeds, man, waiting to pounce out. Like, if you are saying DeMontis Sabonis had a bad game last night, if you're saying
I'm saying that.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
If you're saying he had a rough road trip, if you're saying, hey, the last 10 games he's really kind of been off, that is all incredibly fair. And by the way, people can say whatever they want. You're a fan. You do what you want. If you're saying, like, these big sweeping things about him, like, bro,
yeah,
this is not the guy to blame.
Right.
This is 100% not the guy to blame. So, you know, as a great philosopher once said somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s, cut it out.
Yes. Heard that one.
Yeah.
Great philosopher.
Dork.
When we come back, leading off, just happened. Ah, there's salt on the table now, Jason. Kings lose. We have the audio because, you know, we're all reliving it together. We're all doing this together. Don't you dare switch the channel. We're all going to do this whole thing together. We're going to go through this audio, and you're going to like it. It's all coming up right after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
I guess I should also bring up that Garrett Johnson's going to join us at 8. Talk Masters. So we will have a bit of a distraction, if you will. Welcome distraction.
I meant to ask you, is that an underscore or a space in his email?
That's a great point.
It's an underscore.
Oh. Yeah, because it does, the way it's Garrett highlighted.
Johnston.
Garrett. Yeah.
And that T throws you off.
I think we just gave away his email, too. That's fine.
There's a little more to it.
There's a little more to it.
At Hotmail.
.gov.
People get mad at me because I still have a Hotmail account. Like, they get, not mad, but they're like, Hotmail. I'm like, so? But I guess that's like AOL. I mean, I have it.
It's better than AOL.
Yeah,
I still have it too, and mainly for the pool.
That's a great point, right?
A lot of people are.
Like the swimming pool is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And Katie will join us at 9. I feel like Katie, 94% of the time, comes on after a bad loss. Poor Katie.
It's been It's
been that way. That just kind of shows you.
And oh my gosh, you're just lame.
And I feel like, yes, that was, I feel
they
like.
They must all be like on Mondays or Tuesdays have been their bad losses.
It'd be interesting, actually, to look at those records, like if there's a day that stands out. Also, I feel like, remember the fairy tale? I don't know, was it a fairy tale? But whatever the thing was, the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the theme of the season. Like the Kings are the hare, and they're like, meow. And, you know, oh my God, look how great they are. They're so fast and amazing. But then at the finish line, it's the steady Eddie tortoise that just kind of crosses. While the way I learned about the tortoise and the hare, if I'm being honest, was a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Exactly.
Cartoon. Is that you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I thought that was just me. Yeah. Where Bugs Bunny is chasing the turtle.
Genuinely one of the funniest things where he finds out about the show by reading the title. And just starts laughing hysterically. Dude, like it's the stupidest thing he's ever seen.
Arguably one of the best Bugs Bunny cartoons ever. and also educational because it's a lesson in there. Like, yeah. don't get cocky. Just go all the way to the finish line.
I bet Bugs did some jinxing.
Guarantee that whole thing was a Bugs Bunny jinx. The whole thing was a Bugs Bunny jinx. You know the guy who did, as I desperately try to avoid playing this audio, you know the guy who did all the voices, Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny and so many others, right? He was in a really bad car crash, really, really bad car crash, and he was in a coma. And the doctors, after a while, tried something with him where they started to speak to him in Bugs Bunny character, like, hey, what's up, doc? And he would respond, that his first responses were in Bugs' character responding, and they found that that was like the little key. So they kept interacting with him like that, and he would, when he would, interact as Bugs or one of his other characters, and then slowly came out of the coma and made a full recovery.
Wow.
It's a true story. Pretty amazing.
Interesting.
That's all the Mel Blanc information.
It's more than I had.
I have. Here's De'Aaron Fox.
And the Kings have the opening possession. They head to our right from our vantage point, which is kind of mid-level here, looking down on the floor. Ioannelis gets away from a defender, gets into the paint, skips it out to Fox. He steps into an immediate three, and he scores the three-pointer. So De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on the board on the opening possession with a three-pointer.
De'Aaron Fox was great in the first half. I mean, the Kings just in general were, but the story of the first half for the Sacramento Kings was the G League guy who's starting now.
Far side of the floor, Ioannelis, three-point range to Sabonis. Sabonis looks and moves toward the right wing, hands it off to Fox, drives aggressively, hooks the pass back out to Kiggins, swings down to Ellis, open for three, and he nails it from right in front of Jordy Fernandez and the Kings bench.
Uh-huh. We're still in the first quarter. More Ioannelis.
Fox for the drive and kick. Ellis going for his third. Ioannelis knocks down the triple from the right angle. 23-18 in favor of Sacramento. We're at the midpoint of the first quarter.
The only thing better than Ioannelis hitting a three, and the only thing better than De'Aaron Fox hitting a three, Jason, is in the same clip, both of them hitting threes.
Here's Ellis to beat the shot clock buzzer, and he banks in the three. It was a desperate attempt.
Banks open.
To bail him out on a shot clock violation, and he knocks down another three-pointer. He's got 26-20 in favor of the Kings. Here's a backdoor cut by Dort, going strong, challenged at the rim nicely by the Kings. Missed the shot. Fox in transition pulls up. He's going for another three. He scores another three. You get a three, you get a three. Oh, yes, you get a three. That's been that kind of a start for the Kings. They've made eight triples in this first quarter in 11 attempts.
Did G-Man just go Oprah?
He did.
That's great. Love it. He's having fun. We're all having fun. Finishing out the second half, or excuse me, the first half. How about more Ioannelis?
Cross-court feed to Ioannelis. Looks off a defender. Launches. He hits a three. A career-high sixth made three-pointer and a career-scoring high. He's now up to 20 points in the first half.
Yeah. What a half. A career-high in the first half. And I'm sitting there thinking and allowing, I'm trying to push the thought out of my head, but the inner little kid Kings fan in me is not allowing. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Like, I was like Adrian at the end of the Drago Rocky, like, you're going to do it. Like, I'm trying to push those thoughts out of my head. The Kings are up 64-45 going into the second half. Not only do they have a 19-point lead, but they're holding another team below 100, and the defense, it wasn't just like, oh, Oklahoma City's missing all their shots, which they were missing a lot of shots, but it was the rotations and the communication and calling out screens and just like everything. And it's like I said on Twitter, this is who this team can be. They're not doing, yes, are they hot from outside? Sure.
Yeah.
But this is sustainable. Like, just keep running your offense and playing defense. And if you do that, you're going to win a ball game. Yet, you're sitting there at halftime, you go out, you get up, maybe you go potty, maybe you refill your glass of iced tea or whatever your beverage is of the evening. The back of your head, you're like, okay, second half, man. We can't do this again. We can't get We can't get out coached. We can't have the other team make adjustments and we don't make adjustments. You know, Mark Daniel and friends are going to, they're going to get in that locker room. They're going to pull out the whiteboard. And, okay, let's try this, this. We're going to give other looks. You got to be able to adjust. You can't give them any momentum in the second half. You have to step on their neck. Well, what happened?
Here's a launch for two from Fox. It's no good. Rebound cleared. Thunder on the run. Here comes SGA to the right baseline. Keeps the dribble alive. He's got all kinds of room to work. He shakes, he spins, he gets underneath, mishandles the ball, gets it back, up fake, and he still scores. Three defenders around him, and it's now a four-point game. What an amazing sequence for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's a 9-0 run. And then let's cut it to two.
Keegan Murray, baseline right. Hesitation move, double clutch to the rim is missed. Listen to this Thunder fan. Here comes Gilgeous-Alexander, end-to-end push. They swing it around the horn, all the way to the left side to Williams. He runs up and down, move to the rack, and it's a two-point game. It's 71-69.
Yeah. So they cut it to two. At this point, Jason, I'm feeling murderous. I know. I'm hate watching now.
Yeah.
So I write a tweet that says, I've seen enough. Kings start out gangbusters in Oklahoma City, but couldn't hold a 19-point lead. 1-3 road trip, three left to decide if they're an 8 or a 9 seed. Next up, New Orleans, first game back from a road trip. I wrote that tweet right after that Jalen Williams shot, 71-69, and I sat there like Cameron in his car and Ferris Bueller, like with my finger over the button, and finally I went, you know what? I'm going to pocket this because it's just kind of a D-bag move to do that. Like, there's going to be people that are like, you're giving up already. I don't want to yuck their yum at this point. I put it away. I should have tweeted it to help warn people. Like, hey. And also, by the way,
that would have done it. That would have warned them. They would have not watched.
They would have maybe not watched. Maybe their hopes would have gone down a little bit. But also, little reverse jinx. Like, if the Kings did come back, there's really no downside. Because if the Kings did come back and win, everyone piles on me for being pessimistic. It's the ultimate reverse jinx, and I could not have been happier if that had happened. Like,
you should have done it.
I should have done it. There was no.
So I blame you now.
You probably actually should. Anyways, then the rest of the highlights are the Oklahoma City Thunder making basket. I mean, it was a good back and forth game.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings had the lead again with two and a half minutes to go.
Well, they pull Harrison Barnes and immediately go on a 9-0 run to respond to that whole thing. And it was directly after Harrison Barnes got pulled out. He was fighting through last night. He was aggressive. I don't question Harrison Barnes' effort, but he's borderline unplayable right now. He is borderline unplayable right now. And I don't know that he should have had the minutes he should have had last night unless something's going on we don't know. And I do trust Mike Brown with this, that if there were just guys that were tired, end of the road trip, legs are dead, and you have to do something. But Harrison Barnes he's just not having a good time right now. 1 of 8. He did have 10 points and 6 boards. Yeehaw. But
he got 8 free throws.
8 of free throws. He was 8 of 10, and he missed his first 2 free throws. There's a lot of blame to go around, man. There really, really is. The Kings last night, you would know this. This was a franchise record, right? 58 three-point attempts.
Yeah, and I was absolutely stunned with Mike Brown's postgame. I could not believe he said, like, I knew he was going to attack the officials.
Sure, fine.
I knew that was coming. But when he said the amount of threes they turned down, the open looks, like, we can't do that, I'm thinking, you guys ignored the paint.
For real.
Domantas Sabonis has averaged a triple-double against this team and has brutalized Chet Holmgren this
year. Yes, yes.
He was a non-factor.
He was a complete non-factor.
The amount of, like, the spray threes they've been talking about, the amount of drives they got into and then looked like they could have laid up or dunked that they threw out.
Yes. And there was one, by the way, where I kind of forget who it was. It actually worked. It was...
Yes.
Somebody driving passes out to the right corner. Right. And he made it.
Yeah.
But I'm yelling at the TV. I'm sitting there, what are you doing? You have a wide open layup. And the guy made the three, but it's still, to me, not a great shot.
Yeah. And over time, like, they were doing well in the rebounding. This is a team that doesn't have much more size than you.
No.
Yet they get to the basket. They get the free throws. They played that way all the way through. And, Yeah, the threes fell for a decent portion of the game, but over time, they just played those numbers.
Much, much more on this game. Also, where the Kings are at, 7 a.m., we'll do a standing watch. We'll update you on where everything else is, everybody else is. Next up, though, baseball safe or out with a Kings guest appearance in one of the questions. We'll do that next.
Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings.
It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
It is that time for Safe or Out, isn't it, Chris?
I think so. I think Dave jinxed himself.
I think he did. Well,
when he said he's going to come right back.
Yeah, that's true. That is a big-time jinx. But he is back.
It's true. That is a jinx.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Right after this. Next thing you know, serial killer downstairs. Narrowly avoided.
Is it true?
I won't do that again. No.
Oh, you've seen the sales team.
It was just Scott Marsh.
See?
Yeah. Same thing.
He's here already?
No, I was just making that up for the bit. It wasn't anyone. I was taking a phone call from somebody about a segment a little bit later. Mm. Yeah. Hey, safe or out, question one.
With the Orioles calling up Jackson Holliday, they are now the AL favorites.
Look, the Yankees are the Yankees, and they are gangbusters right
10-2, baby.
They are absolute gangbusters, and the Orioles are just 6-4. But when I look around the league, and by the way, the Red Sox started out 7-4. They had a tough year last year. Cleveland's 8-3. Everything's bunched up in the West, by the way, including
yes, the team you just crap on every day.
Those Oakland A's,
3 in a row.
Well, we'll get to them in a second. But I do think the Orioles are the biggest challenge. This team is stacked top to bottom, and you're now adding the best prospect in baseball by every measure, pretty much every publication. One of the most heralded prospects we've seen in a while who has just been tearing it up. Should have probably made the team opening day. They said they wanted him to see left-handed pitching. What happened? His first at-bat of the year in AAA facing the lefty, he goes yard. The rich get richer.
He's seen it.
Yeah, he saw it. Bring him in. I think so. I think the Yankees and the Orioles, who knows, long season, but I think they're the class of the AL right now.
Out, it's the Yankees. Case closed, and I'm not jinxing.
not jinxing at all. Number two, please.
Safe or out, the A's now have a better record than the Giants and are better than the Giants.
Is their record better?
The Oakland A's are currently 4-7. The San Francisco Giants, after losing their second straight last night, are 4-8.
Ooh, woof.
Woof. Well, I guess it's safe and out. Safe, the record is better.
Yes.
Out, I don't think they're better than the Giants. I think it's
you think both seasons are over already.
Yes. I think it's a turd versus a turd to punch bowl. Like, you know, it's 6-1 and half a dozen the other. The Giants are probably an 80-win team. Maybe a 70-win team. The A's...
Which turd would you rather have?
Well, I feel like the turd alone affects a person. The turd in the punch bowl affects the whole party.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue
that... But who's who?
I think the A's are the turd in the punch bowl.
Really?
And I think the Giants are just a turd.
I think you'd rather be... That's easier cleanup. Just get rid of it.
Oh, because it's in the punch bowl?
No.
Oh, out of the punch bowl.
Yeah, it's all by itself. Like the punch bowl, it's
like...
You
throw the punch bowl out with the bathwater.
This is too much talk of this.
That is a good point. Well, they're both bad. But you know what? I'll tell you this much. Expectations were lower for the A's.
Yeah.
That's pessimism, baby. Mm. So, hey, 4-7 for the A's, much more fun than 4-8 for the Giants, where there are people out there that are like, oh, I think they could do things. Look at the Farhan signs the guy. Yeah, okay, well, they're 4-8.
Okay.
That's how it is. Number three, please.
Safer out. The Kings now 1-3 since the A's announcement. The John Fisher curse is real.
Yeah.
Curse or jinx?
Yes.
Okay.
Safe. Safe. You lay down with snakes, you're going to fly with the eagles, but that's not the case with the Kings. I don't think that's the same, but... Yeah, man. Now you just, you know what? The Kings own the River Cats, who are now sharing a stadium with the A's owned by John Fisher. You just, you poisoned the well, man. And now that, that bad juju is now permeating itself throughout. Is any of that true? Almost certainly 100% not. But I am the guy falling off the cliff that needs the little tiny piece of grass to hold on to, and I'm choosing to hold that piece of grass to justify what's going on and explain it in the face of the unexplainable. I'm choosing that to be John Fisher.
Okay. So the targets are John Fisher and Pete Youngman, just so I'm clear.
Yes, and to be really clear, I love Pete Youngman.
Yeah.
I do not love John Fisher. I very much love
him. But you're putting him together.
I'm saying both of them are examples of what happens when you mess with the thing on top of the hill that you shouldn't look directly in the eye at.
It is snakes and eagles.
It is snakes and eagles. Sneagles.
Yeah, he got a sneeze coming. Yeah. There's a banshee loose.
Sneagles. That's that was the guy in the Lord of the Rings, yes. By the way, the one of the ring. We'll take a break.
I know you like Harry Potter.
What?
That's great.
When we come back, standings watch. How the Kings lost last night. Did it get worse for them based on what other teams did? We'll talk about that next.